Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Your daily encouragement that God has the world in the hollow of his hand. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio. If we're going to fly, we fly like eagles. Arms out wide. If we're going to fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're going to stand, we stand as giants. If we're going to walk, we walk as lions.
What have you done? I remember this question being asked on a fair number of occasions by my mom and my dad when I was little. Carmen, what have you done? It is the question of God to Adam and Eve in the garden after they have done the one thing that he told them not to do. What have you done? It is the question that parents have asked in every generation since that first generation. It's the question God also asks in Genesis chapter 4, when the blood of Abel cries out from the ground. And the Lord says, what have you done? Your brother's blood is crying out to me. What have you done? I want you to imagine that you are the parents of a young person who took a gun to school and killed his classmates. And I want you to pray today as parents who I am sure said to themselves, what have you done? Face sentencing. So for the first time in U.S. history, parents of a school shooter have not only been charged, but found responsible under the law for the actions of their child. So James and Jennifer Crumley are going to face sentencing today in Oxford, Michigan. In 2021, their son killed four students at the high school in Oxford, Michigan. And each of them, the parents, James and Jennifer, face up to 15 years in prison for something that their son did. Because the jury found them responsible for having made a gun available to him and for, quote, ignoring signs of his spiraling mental health. This is the first time that parents of a school shooter here in the United States have been charged with such serious crimes, even though they are not the ones who pulled the trigger. And so it's an important day in their life, obviously, but in the lives of their friends and extended family, in the community of which they are a part, the families of the children who lost their lives on that day at the hands of their son, on and on and on and on and on. What have you done? And so just be praying today for the whole situation. I'm not asking you to pray specifically in any way. I'm just, this is something we should be praying about and we should be concerned about and we should concern ourselves with. And then let me ask you, do you ever feel stuck? Of course, we all feel stuck, right? How do you feel stuck today? Where do you feel stuck? Is it a paralysis level of stuckness? That's not probably really a word, but there you go. About 1.7% of the U.S. population experiences some form of paralysis, like actual paralysis. That's like 5.5 million people. So who do you know who is living with some form of paralysis? I'm thinking about a friend at church who's young. His name is Harrison. He had a stroke in his 20s, and he suffers from a form of partial paralysis. Who do you know in your life who is experiencing some form of paralysis today? And the reason I bring this up is because, well, not only could we talk about what God does through Jesus in Mark chapter 2, when the four friends, you know this story probably. If you don't, this is a great read today. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. So these Jesus is teaching in a town called Capernaum, and the house where he's teaching is packed with people. I mean, all the way around. Like it's completely, the house is full. Every window people are hanging in. Like there's no way to get a paralyzed guy in front of Jesus. And so these friends go up onto the roof and they, you know, they make a hole in the roof and they lower this paralyzed man down on the mat. And so Jesus is responding to the faith of these four individuals. And in responding to their faith, he says to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." Which you have to think in the moment is not what the guys who brought their friend were thinking that he needed. But God knows that our real need is not the paralysis of our body, but the way that our hearts get paralyzed by sin. And so Jesus addresses the big issue first, which is the issue of sin. And then he addresses the issue of the body. But he addresses the issue of the body in part because of the way that the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, who are sitting there, respond in their heads. So Mark says they're thinking to themselves. This is not stuff they said out loud. They are looking at Jesus, who says to this paralyzed man who's just been lowered through the roof by his four friends because they want to get him to Jesus because they want to see their friend healed. The Pharisees are thinking to themselves. This isn't even something they're saying out loud. Jesus is reading their thoughts. They're thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus, responding to their thoughts, says to them, why are you even thinking that? Like, what's easier? Is it easier to say to a paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven? Or is it easier to say, get up, take up your mat, and walk? Okay. They're both really hard, by the way. One is easy to say. They're both really hard to do. Like, only God is in a position to actually forgive sins. It might be easy to say your sins are forgiven, but like to actually accomplish it is really hard. And Jesus knows that it's going to require the cross. And so in saying to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, Jesus is already embracing what he's going to do on the cross, which is so cool. Anyway, I digress. Jesus says to the people, in order that you'll know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins, let me also do the thing that you would receive as like proof of my power. And he says to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat and go home. And he did. The paralyzed man got up in full view of everybody, picked up his mat and walked home with his friends, praising God. And people said, we've never seen anything like this. Well, there's something going on in the medical world where we're going to be saying we've never seen anything like this. There are these brain implant startups. One's called Neuralink, one's called Synchron, and they make these devices. They work differently, and they're implanted differently, but they make these devices that like restart the brain's motor cortex. It's crazy, but it's also happening. And the FDA has given provisional approval for human trials, and Synchron announced yesterday that it's recruiting dozens of patients now for a large-scale clinical trial. So in the spirit of we've never seen anything like this, and in the spirit of recognizing that 5.5 million people in this country alone suffer and live with some form of paralysis, this is really, really an extraordinary step forward. And I wanted you to be aware of it. And I also wanted you to be equipped with the story from Mark chapter 2, so that you can talk about the fact that Jesus heals and that he works miracles. And sometimes he does work those miracles through medical science and technology. Dr. Tiffany Schatz is going to join us next. She is a thoracic surgeon. And along with our other friends from the Christian Medical and Dental Association, she is bringing faith to bear on some of the medical headlines of the day. So next up, Dr. Tiffany Schatz. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Joining us now, Dr. Tiffany Schatz. Yes, we do think it's a super fun name for a doctor to have. She's a thoracic surgeon, and she's joining us today from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Tiffany, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Good morning, Carmen. Thanks for having me.
You get the joke all the time, right? Like people, yeah.
Well, it's really a German word that means precious, so...
Now see, so, now I just love that.
Right. So I call my husband Mindshots.
That's so fantastic. Tiffany, what is a thoracic surgeon? Like, just assume that we've been to the doctor, but we've never been to a doctor like you.
Well, I hope not, because thoracic surgery is major surgery and usually pretty serious problems to see a thoracic surgeon, usually lung cancer or a major problem with the lungs, like a recurrent pneumothorax, which is where the lung falls down, or a recurrent effusion, which is where the fluid builds up around the lung and presses on the lung, or a major hernia of the diaphragm, where the intestines or stomach are coming into the chest, preventing good digestion and breathing. So these are all pretty serious problems, and most patients are not in the market for thoracic surgeons.
All right. So we are thankful that God has wired you in such a way and equipped you to do what you do. So thank you. Thank you for that. When we talk with the good doctor, which today is you, here on Mornings with Carmen, we like to ask questions that are way below your pay grade. I mean, like way, way below your pay grade. But it's things that we're concerned about out there in the world. Like, okay, we have heard, now this is going to affect the cost of eggs across the country, but we have heard that the bird flu, you know, is now present in Texas. How worried should we be about the bird flu?
The H5N1 bird flu was detected in a single patient in Texas. This was a person who is actually working with cows, actually, and this has been found to have impacted cows. This is the reason why it made the news, is because this bird flu has impacted pockets of cattle in five different states. And now a person who has been working with this cattle in Texas has contracted actually a pretty mild version of bird flu, just a conjunctivitis or pink eye. And with that, it brought concern of the transfer of the virus from one species to another, humans being obviously our most concerning. What we know so far is that the cattle have most likely been impacted by bird feces or dead birds that have affected the water source, and that's how the cows have gotten them. Humans can be impacted by this virus by direct contact with the membranes of the eye, the mucous membranes of the eye, or very, very deep receptors in the lungs, which are pretty tough to get to, you know, just by exposure to cattle. And so what is believed is that this impacted the cattle directly from the birds that are migrating northward now, and then the cattle directly from exposure to mucous membranes of the eyes of this worker. It was not suspected that that this is able to be transferred from mammal to mammal. From what I mean is, it wasn't passed from cow to cow in that way, and it wasn't passed really from cow to human in a natural respiratory fashion. So the concern is there that it doesn't develop that ability to be transferred, but right now they're keeping an eye on it, essentially.
That's a really good way to say it, because I think they're concerned that, like, the guy that works with the cows wiped his eye, like, right? So yeah, that's the transmission path they think that maybe they followed. So if you're listening right now, this is not like a get all crazy and worry about bird flu. This is an awareness thing, and something that you can probably tamp down your fear about if all of a sudden you were exercised about this. We are going to talk about pollen allergies next. I don't know if you've noticed, it is spring. It may not quite be spring where you are, depending where you are today, but I can tell you it's full-blown spring where I live. So Dr. Tiffany Schatz, who knows a lot about how your lungs work and what's happening in there, we're going to talk about pollen and pollen allergies. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. I love a good story, don't you? I love a good love story, a good mystery, a good travel log. I love a good turnaround story or a story that begins once upon a time and ends with happily ever after. So what's your story? Specifically, your Jesus story. What difference does Jesus make in your life? Could you tell it as a love story or a rescue story? However you tell it, trust me, we want to hear it. We love a good story. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio. Dr. Tiffany Schatz is joining us. She's a thoracic surgeon. She is also a part of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. You can find them at cmda.org. If you are a person working in the medical or dental fields and you want some encouragement, you need some equipping as a healthcare professional in order to glorify God, that's what CMDA is doing. We want you to connect with them and not only find fellowship, but great resources, cmda.org. Tiffany, talk with us about allergies. Obviously, you know, spring is springing upon us across North America. pollen allergies specifically.
Right. Pollen allergies cause our seasonal allergies of basically hay fever or allergic rhinitis, that sneezy, itchy, nose blowing time of year that a lot of people feel. There's different allergens that affect us in the spring, the summer, and the fall. But what a lot of allergists have noticed is maybe the allergy season starting earlier in some areas of the country. Some scientists have attributed that to global warming and increasing CO2 in our environment. At this point, I think that is something that we can observe with increased allergies in the United States, especially in the more northern areas of the country. As far as the earlier allergy season, when we look at the numbers of people with allergies in the country, it's about 1 in 4 adults and 1 in 5 kids have seasonal allergies, which is a pretty significant group. But it's pretty consistent across the different regions of the country. Mm-hmm. As far as the earlier allergy seasons, in the warmer versus the colder climates, the pollen is bursting out earlier in the northern climates, but is a little bit later in the southern climate. So it's hard to say whether all of this is related to climate change or not. But it doesn't seem to be directly related to the number of people who have seasonal allergies, because like I said, each different region has about the same amount of allergies, with the Midwest being slightly lower. Now, one other thing that we have found is that there are increasing allergies overall in the United States over the past 4 decades or so. And some of that we believe may be related to our microbiome, essentially the bacteria that is on our skin, in our intestine, that is helping our immune system to be either sensitized or desensitized to allergens. So all of these factors sort of interplay with our immune system, both the increasing pollen, as well as potentially the change of the season where the allergens are released a little earlier, and then our exposure to the bacteria being different. All of these interplay and cause the allergy season to be potentially worse and earlier for Americans.
Dr. Schatz, first of all, apparently when I referred to you as Dr. Schatz, now everybody thought about the kind of shots I thought about. I thought about the shots that we get from the doctor. Other people thought about the shots they get from bartenders. So there you go. The audience is full of people who think differently when they hear a word. Uh-huh. You think of blessings, which I think is even a better way, right, to think about the whole thing. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. Let's talk about this other article that you and I both read about depression and the ways in which depression is being treated. And there's now a digital treatment for depression. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, it's very interesting. You know, everything is becoming, everything is turning online, right? Everything we can do by an app. So there's a new app called Rejoin that has been allowed by the FDA for major depression, major depressive disorder, and now allowed by prescription therapy. It's a 6-week program, which is cognitive emotional therapy through an app. And it was found to potentially improve outcomes of treatment with major depressive disorder with medications. So additive with the medications potentially improved their outcomes. Now, the results were not statistically significant from the non-treatment group, but it's interesting because it is another tool that potentially could be used. We do know that therapy can actually improve the effectiveness of medications for major depressive disorder as well. So I think that is the idea, is to play off of that effectiveness. Mm-hmm. It's definitely interesting. I think my personal gut response to using an app for depression is you know, it's great that we have technology, and I think that is really important. I think it can be a bridge, though, to human interaction. I think that our most effective treatment and prevention of depression is human relationships, is caring for others, is getting outside of ourselves. And a lot of times the technology that we use within these apps really centers around ourselves. And so hopefully, I haven't seen the app. I don't know all of the things that they do with those therapies, but I would hope that it would actually point to getting outside yourself, developing relationships, and improving opportunities for compassion for others, which is the greatest greatest treatment and prevention for some of these symptoms.
Dr. Tiffany Schatz, thank you so much for joining us today. I concur with you. I think that the human relationship is essential when we're talking about particularly things like depression. You know, if loneliness is a contributing factor, then adding and social media and all of the things in the digital environment that contribute to people's mental health disorders today. If we're answering that through digital treatment, maybe we are completely missing the opportunity to do what really needs to be done, which is for that person to be reconnected to another human being. So yeah, thank you so much for pointing that out. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Carmen.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, again, if you are listening for the very first time in Billings, Montana today, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome. 93.3 FM is now a part of Faith Radio. You might want to check out who we are and our whole lineup of wonderful, wonderful programs all day long at myfaithradio.com. You can text the word welcome to 877-933-2484. We'd love to know who you are and that you're listening so that we can get to know you. We want you to get to know us as well. So if you've never gotten a welcome packet from Faith Radio, today's a great day to text the word welcome wherever you are to 877-933-2484. Lots of things going on in the world today. And the most important thing for you and I as believers is to get some time with God. So I want to be sure that you get some time alone with the Lord today, some silence, some solitude. Go into the closet, go into the bathroom, like wherever it is that you can get a quiet moment, and just be sure you get a minute or two just with the Father. Tell him that you love him, that you thank him, that he sees you right where you are, whatever you got going on. Ask him to tend to the deepest needs of your heart and life. I'm going to encourage you every single day to be in the Word of God so that the Word of God might get into you before you get out there into the world that God so loves. And one of my favorite Bible teachers along the path of my life, his name is Robert Wolgemuth. The B-I-B-L-E is an important book in his life, has been an important book in his life for a long, long time. He is the husband of our Faith Radio programmer and host of Revive Our Hearts, Nancy Lee DeMoss Wolgemuth. And I think that, you know, one of the things that now makes him famous in the world is that he's Nancy's husband, and that won't hurt his feelings at all. I know him well enough to be able to tell you that. So he has been working on a project with some friends that's a study Bible for men. And it's a men's daily Bible. And we wanted to share it with you. So Robert Wolgemuth is going to join us next here on Mornings with Carmen to talk about the B-I-B-L-E. Because that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. In case you didn't already have the Water Buffalo VeggieTales song singing in your head, I want to send you out today with the B-I-B-L-E song. So Robert Wolgemuth up next with the men's daily Bible. Well, that was Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, who is the host of Revive Our Hearts here on the Faith Radio Network. Her husband now joins us, Robert Wolgemuth, who's an old friend of mine. If you've got a man in your life and you've been wondering, how am I going to get him into the Word of God? How am I going to help him engage every single day in a conversation with the Lord? Well, you don't have to imagine that any longer, because Robert has put together with a group of his friends the CSB Men's Daily Bible, and he is inviting you to walk daily into a conversation with God's Word. Robert, good morning, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. It really is you. How fun is this? Hello, Carmen.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
It's mutual. Hello, hello.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. How fun
are the
30 seconds ago to hear my wife.
I know, right? I get to hear her every day. So fun.
I do too. I hear her every day.
Hey, are the waterfowl back on the lake?
Oh, they are. You have a great memory. Oh, yes. Yeah, I watched several swans land and take off this morning. It's just unbelievable. So the Lord is so good every single day.
Amen. Amen. Well, and that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the goodness of God. We want to talk about this delightful invitation that you're offering in the form of a daily Bible that's intended just for regular, ordinary guys
that
they can use in their individual study, but also share with a friend. Yeah. So talk with us about this project, because it's a pretty massive undertaking to offer a Bible.
Yeah. The book is daunting. Let's just say here we have a 1,600-page book, and you hand this to a guy who's not necessarily familiar with it, and he goes, oh, yeah, right. Like, where do I start? Well,
yeah,
this daily Bible is an invitation to a conversation over coffee with me, if I can be so presumptuous, and a chance to say, this is okay. Don't be overwhelmed by this. Don't be intimidated by it. You and I are going to have a conversation. So the Bible is filled. I've got 260, we call them insight for the day. So at the top of the page is a Bible verse, and then I tell a story. And most of those stories are just from my own life. So Jesus would say to his disciples, the kingdom of God is like. And then what he'd do is he'd tell a very familiar story. So these guys were agrarian, or they were fishermen, or they were sheep herders. So Jesus would tell a story, and the guys would say, yeah, okay, I get that. That's familiar. Well, that's the point. I'm telling familiar stories to ordinary people, ordinary men. Now, let me ask you a question. You said this at the beginning. So how many women wish their husbands spent more time in God's word?
Every single one of us. I mean, even though my husband's in the word of God every single day and he's in it deeply, like, right? Yeah. Don't we all, no matter who we are, don't we wish that our husbands had more opportunity not only to be in the word of God on their own, but to be in the word of God with another guy? And that's what you're doing. Yeah. You're offering yourself as a companion in the conversation. And that's so sweet.
Yeah, it's a tool. You know, my garage, I've got pegboards and I got tools hanging up there. This is a tool that nothing magical about it until you use it. And then by God's grace, it works. It brings a guy into the word. I get a chance to be his friend and say, this is what I believe the Lord is saying in this passage. But then wonder what he's saying to you and me in this passage. So the great fun thing about this project is the publisher said to me, let's have some other voices. So I hesitated, thinking anybody that I would ask to join me in this thing is going to be very busy. But again, by God's grace, I invited 51 friends, buddies, to join me, and 50 said yes. So throughout this Daily Bible are insights, pieces, short pieces written by these friends of mine, and they're connected. They're linked to a particular passage of scripture. So I said to these guys, pick out one of your favorite passages and then unpack it. Give us 500 words to unpack this, the power of this particular passage. So I've got 51 of those scattered throughout the Daily Bible. And they're really sweet. I had a Zoom call with all the contributors this past week, and it was a celebration. It was an amazing time. So what a gift to be able to share their wisdom throughout this Daily Bible.
We're talking with Robert Wolgemuth. He's the editor of the CSB, Men's Daily Bible. It's a brand new resource, and it's available for you. We want you to be in the Word of God. And if you are a man, we really want you to be in the Word of God. We want the Word of God to get into you. And I know that it's been a scary thought that you would just, you know, dive into a study of God's Word. But this is designed for you, so that it's really a conversation with Robert Wolgemuth and a bunch of his friends over passages of scripture. And so I'd like you to take us into one. Like, because yesterday was the eclipse, I thought that the reflection on Psalm 8, day 81. Insight for the day is goosebumps. And you are, you know, you're in the airport and you're, you know, I like the way that you describe the deal that you have with the airlines. If they're, you know, if you're scheduled to be there, but, you know, they're ready to go and you're not there, they're going to leave without you. That's your deal. That's all of our
deals.
They've
actually done that a few times. Yeah. They've proven to me that that's exactly what they do. Yes.
But you were dashing through the airport, and on one of those television screens overhead, you know, the last landing of the last NASA shuttle, like, right? And you stopped to watch it. Like, are things that are awe-inspiring. Talk with us about goosebumps.
So this is actually on page 567 in the Men's Daily Bible. And yes, it's called Goosebumps. And yes, I tell the story about hurrying through the airport. And yes, there are television monitors hanging from the ceiling everywhere. And yes, the shuttle was landing, and it was the last shuttle. And, you know, the very familiar voice from Houston, kind of with dulcet tones, is announcing that this is the final landing of the Atlantis space shuttle. And nobody was looking up. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were people sitting there looking at their computers. They were deep in conversation. And here's this amazing thing that we are watching, that I'm watching. And then I read Psalm 8 and I realize that I do the same thing. And you're right. Yesterday was the eclipse. And for me, I don't know what it was like for you, Carmen, but it was, I actually choked up just thinking about the awesomeness of God. And David says in Psalm 8, when I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is a human being that you remember him, a son of man that you look after him? So what I say in this very short piece is don't forget to stop. Don't forget to pay attention to the awesomeness of our God. You've met my daughters, Missy and Julie. Missy is now 53 and Julie's 50. And when they were little, my late wife, Bobby, and you knew Bobby as well, my late wife, Bobby, and I would say to each other, if we can give them a taste of what it would be like to be in God's presence, in the presence of the creator of the universe, we would have to spend less time talking about conduct. Mm-hmm. You know, if the most important person in all the earth was sitting in your kitchen with you, how would you act? That's an automatic, that's a no-brainer. Of course, my conduct would be different. My speech would be different. Well, that's exactly what we have every day. The God of the universe, the creator of everything that we know, who spoke into existence everything, including the moon taking up residence in front of the sun. Everything would change if I would just pay attention to that. So I'm standing there in the waiting area of an airport, and I'm feeling these goosebumps on my arm because of what I'm seeing. And then what I say in this piece, when you consider what the psalmist David talks about in Psalm 8, about the character of God, the creativity of our sovereign God, I said, bring on those goosebumps again. So that's a very simple thing. So a guy that may not be that familiar with the Bible bumps into Psalm 8 in this little passage, this little conversation. And if he can walk away saying, wow, there is a God in heaven who knows me, created me, loves me, cares for me, went to the cross and died for me, rose again from the dead, all those things, bring on the goosebumps again. So that's the big idea of the Men's Daily Bible.
What do you do when the world seems to be falling apart, or when you know you are dealing with pride or comparison to others, when you're feeling like you're imperfect in a world that demands perfection, when you don't know how to relate to the women in your life or the God of the universe, on and on and on. We want you as a man to be equipped. And that is what the CSB, Men's Daily Bible, is designed to do. We're going to continue our conversation with Robert Wolgemuth here in just a moment. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge, and this is Faith Radio. Receive a daily email featuring a scripture graphic. Sign up for the Verse of the Day email at myfaithradio.com. Robert Wolgemuth is with us today. We are talking about the Bible, which is pretty much what you always ought to be talking with him about. But today we're talking about a specific, I wanted to call it a study Bible. I wanted to call it a devotional Bible. I'm not going to call it either one of those things. It is a conversational Bible. It's called the Men's Daily Bible. It is the CSB, which is the Christian Standard Bible. If that's a version you're not familiar with, it's contemporary, it's easy to read, it's also accurate. So I think all of those are really, really important. And over the course of his life, Robert has not only loved the Word of God, but loved the one whose Word it is. And so that's really what you get here. You get to sit with Robert Wolgemuth over the Bible that has been woven into his life in such a way that it has produced a beautiful life that's a well-integrated living demonstration of the gospel. And so that is something that I have seen him walk out in the real world, in real life, in his family, and now in his marriage to our wonderful friend and colleague, Nancy. And so I want you to know Robert Wolgemuth, if nothing else, and he wants you to be in the Word of God, and so this is a tool to help you do that. So let's talk about legacy for a moment, because I really feel like with you, that's the That's the conversation we're always swirling around in one way or another. Mm-hmm. I mean, from, you know, from the most important place on earth to finishing well, to spiritual legacy, to, you know, even to this, like, I feel like you want us to be people who know God, because this isn't all there is, and life is short and eternity is long. So can you just spend a minute? I know this isn't really technically our subject for the day, but can you spend a minute just reminding us about living life now with a legacy, a spiritual legacy in mind?
Yeah, that's such an important question. In fact, the way you get to legacy is you live before the Lord faithfully day after day in obedience, in faithfulness, in humility, embracing His love and His grace. And you do that for a lifetime, and legacy sort of takes care of itself. In fact, I've written 260, we call them insights for the day, in this daily Bible. And people have said, so like, what's your favorite one? And it's like picking your kids, right? Well, actually, I do have a favorite one. It's called The Throne. It's on page 1444, toward the end of this daily Bible. And it's about a woman that you knew, that you remember. And it's about her red chair. Bobby would get up really, really early in the morning, and she would sit on this red wingback chair in the corner of the living room. And she was up even before I was, and I'm an early riser, but she was up even before me. And she would be sitting on this red chair, and she would be reading God's word. And I was headed upstairs to write books about God, about walking with Him, about fellowship, about being a good dad, all those things. That's where I was going. But I guess I kind of figured, Carmen, well, this is Bobby's thing, and I have more important things to do. And then, as you know, Bobby stepped into heaven in October of 2014. So a couple weeks after her death, I'm walking through the living room. Her burial has taken place. I'm now by myself. And guess what I see? I see the red chair. Mm-hmm. And this piece called The Throne is about that red chair. I stopped. I looked at that thing, and the Lord said to me, you have been a lazy boy. In fact, this piece called The Throne, the first sentence is, a lazy boy was born on my birthday. So I've, like a lot of men I know, I've fought laziness my whole life. And the Lord said to me, standing there in front of that red chair, you've been lazy, Robert. It's time that you sit down in that chair and you spend time in my word as faithfully as your late wife, Bobby, did. And so I did. That was in October of 2014. And the Lord has been so faithful. And this daily Bible is the result of my saying, you know, enough of that. Our friend Colin Smith says, every life change begins with a single decision. So I'm standing there in front of that red chair, and I made a decision. I said, okay, no more laziness. No more walking past this red chair. Every morning I'm going to sit. I'm going to open God's word. And this Bible gives me a chance to do that, but then also invite a friend to sit down with me and say, like Jesus said, the gospel, the kingdom of God is like. And then I tell a story, mostly from my own life, connected to a verse that I give at the top of that piece, and inviting a friend, a man, an ordinary man like me, to enjoy the presence of God by reading His word. That's a dream. That's my hope for the Men's Daily Bible. And I'm so hoping that men embrace this, and they may have to be given this. They may not go out and buy it themselves, but a wife, a daughter, a sister, might see this as an opportunity to give them a chance to be in the word. So that's my hope. That's my prayer for this project.
That's so good. That's so good. We're talking with Robert Wolgemuth. The book is the CSB Men's Daily Bible. When you talk about the red chair, it's a wing back. That's not lost on me. It's not lost on me that there's a reference to the lazy boy. In my family, the empty chair was the one at the head of the table when my dad died, you know, young. But there's other people listening who, you know, the empty chair is a high chair, or the empty chair is a rocking chair. And so no matter who we are, we have an empty chair in our lives. And it's that chair is different, but it is from that chair that we need to approach the throne. We need to approach the other chair. And so thank you for the very sensitive way that you that you draw us there with your own testimony of the empty, of the red chair. So it's so precious. That's what you're going to get, by the way. That is what you're going to get every single day in the Men's Daily Bible, because that's what Robert and his friends are offering here. If you know a man, if you are a man that wants to be equipped to face not only the challenges of life, but to face the Lord, to like, have the Lord be the one you're in conversation with. And if you've always wanted to be in the Word of God, but you're like, I don't know where to start, and there's not really a Bible that's designed for me, you know, questions that men really ask. Yes, there is. And this is it. So it's the CSB Men's Daily Bible. Robert, for folks who want to, who want to connect with you, maybe we're just sending them to reviveourhearts.com, where there is, there is a Robert Wolgemuth page.
Yeah. And I are actually
you're
Robert
like the only guy.
.com.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Exactly. RobertWolgemuth.com will take you to my landing page. So I would love to correspond with you. And I've encouraged guys that I've given this Bible to start with the Gospel of John. That'll give you a great sense of who Jesus was. But then the features that are in this daily Bible will show up just at the right time as you begin looking at the life of Jesus and using this Men's Daily Bible to be your guide.
So as you're listening and you're thinking to yourself, I know a guy who I would love to see in the Word of God. Why don't you go ahead and get two, and then you could invite somebody to be in the Word of God with you using the Men's Daily Bible. This might be the way that God helps you become a mentor to someone in your own family or a friend at work, another guy to whom you can say, hey, I'm gonna be diving into this. Would you dive into it with me? The CSB Men's Daily Bible. Robert, as always, thank you so much. Give our love to Nancy.
I will. And thank you, Carmen. So good to hear your voice. Bless you, friend.
Such a blessing. Hey, again, good morning to those of you listening for the first time in Billings, Montana. We are Faith Radio. Have a great day and God bless. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.